Will the Republican dreams of a true conservative added to the Supreme Court be frustrated? Will Democrats get their chance to delay Brett Kavanaugh's nomination past the midterm elections? We'll talk about it on this episode of The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are the uprising, with Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president. Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
I have never met with Russians.
Our elected representatives can abuse subordinates and then secretly use a slush fund of our money to pay them off.
Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, is interested in preserving the fabric of America.
Welcome back to The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. This is Scott Cosenza coming at you double barrel. Tim Donner's my co-host today, although he has said he's eschewing co-host duties, and he's just going to fold his arms and be a guest, like a bump on a log, apparently.
Eschewing. I got shoes on.
He's not going to help out at all.
I got shoes on. Do I say that when I take the ball and run with it at the start of the show, and he immediately throws me under the bus? Doesn't even
ahead of time. My lack
doesn't
of
doesn't even wait a second.
Take it from a pro. If you don't want to help, just quietly don't help. Don't announce. All right. Well, we talked a little bit about this on the radio show, and I want to make it at sort of the top of the hour for the podcast, if you will. And that is, let's take Brett Kavanaugh's accusations as given, okay, that they actually happened. Christine Ford, that he actually did when he was 17 years old. And to be clear, this is what she alleges as reported by the Washington Post and the letter that she wrote as reported by CNN. I think it's important to add that because we don't have her testimony. We don't have either of the letters or anything from her exactly, right? We just all these filters, which is somewhat frustrating in terms of getting at the real story. But she says she was at a house party summertime when she was a teenager, 15 years old or so, Bethesda, Maryland or thereabouts. Everybody's drinking to some degree. Brett Kavanaugh and his friend Mark Judge are drinking more than everyone else who are drunk. She's upstairs for some reason. Gets pushed into a room. She's not exactly sure who pushes her into the room from behind, whether it's Kavanaugh or Mr. Judge. Again, so this person's name is Mark Judge. Somewhat confusing.
Yes.
Because of Judge Kavanaugh.
It is all week.
And then Brett Kavanaugh is on top of her, trying to get her clothes off, trying to rape her, she believes. She expresses that she, at the time, was fearful that he might kill her inadvertently because she attempted to scream, and he put her hand over he put his hand over her mouth in order to frustrate her attempts to scream and alert the other people in the house. The Mr. Judge was there roughhousing around, jumping on top of him. At one point, he jumped on them, creating a sort of spillover pile. She was able to escape to a bathroom. The boys ran downstairs, and that was the end of the encounter.
Mm-hmm.
That happens to, 16, 17-year-old Brett Kavanaugh does that. Does that mean he doesn't get to be Supreme Court Justice in 2018 in your mind?
Well, there is an issue of if he's 17, which he's still a minor, or if he's 21, where he's now no longer a minor, or if he was, say, 30, which is only maybe 20 years ago that he was 30 years old. So I think there is a difference. I think if a pattern of behavior can be established that was started then or included that.
Well, we don't have
then,
a pattern.
With no pattern of behavior, a 17-year-old, I think it's very difficult.
All right, that's what I wanted.
I think it's very difficult.
So it sounds like the answer is not a disqualifying event.
And I
want
to say that I would say that even if that was being, that accusation was being made against a progressive justice.
Right.
I mean, I think you have to look at it in the vacuum that it's in, because it is a vacuum. There's no pattern of behavior.
Yeah.
I mean, compare it to, for example, Roy Moore, right, who was running mm-hmm. for Senate in Alabama. There was a pattern of inappropriate sexual behavior, mm-hmm. shall we say, by Judge Moore. That was a pattern. There's no pattern here, and I think that's the thing that's so troubling. Just as there wasn't with Clarence Thomas. There was no pattern of behavior with him.
Let's not muddy the whole
thing. But what I'm saying is, though,
yeah.
But with, let's say, Donald Trump. Okay, with Donald Trump, there is are patterns of
behavior. I phrased my question to try to narrow the field. Yeah. So I say, given what, if we take the allegations as she's given them, which is not a, we don't have a pattern. And he's not 30 years old. He was 17 or maybe 16. Mm-hmm. If it even happened, which is up in the air, I'll grant you that. But so it sounds like you're saying it's not a disqualifying event, right, for you?
Not by itself.
Okay, right. All right, for me too. So for some people it is. You know, some of the senators on the committee have said that if it happened, it's a disqualifying event. Now, I think it's kind of funny, Tim, that how quickly progressives, you know, I hate a hypocrite probably, you know, more than anything
else.
We
all do.
And Republicans certainly have their fair share, but boy, the Democrats, bad week for hypocrisy on the left and with Democrats. You know, I've heard more times than I can count from progressives about how we have to eliminate like background checks for employment, for instance, because it crushes the black population because they have such a high interaction with criminal justice. And I just think to myself, like, you think that a 17-year-old who wasn't even criminally investigated, much less charged when they were 17, should suffer the lack of a job when they're in their late 50s? Is that only when they're white and they are conservatives? Or do you think that's cool for black people too? Because they'll tell you that even if you have like a business where you want to like send people into people's homes that you can't do, or, you know, entrusting them with their valuables, that you can't do a criminal background check on somebody in the private marketplace. But now we're going to say
And now suddenly it's all reversed. Yeah. Well, we have to go and do an FBI investigation on a kid in a prep school when he was 17 years old. I mean, the thing that this really has in common with the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas situation is that these are, again, non-disprovable allegations.
Well,
there's no way.
They're genius allegations.
They are.
If you wanted to create...
Because there's no way you can disprove it.
That's exactly right. So if you wanted to create allegations that couldn't be disproven, let's get into a couple clips here. I think that let's first of all, so now the latest thing is, so we're clear, we're recording this and I make it 6:33 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time on Thursday. And we have to say that because this story hops around and changes so much.
And the latest that we've got is that the lawyer, the left-wing lawyer for Christine Ford, has said that that she is willing to testify under the right circumstances, only following an investigation, and that testifying on Monday is, quote, not possible.
Earlier today, Ms. Ford's attorneys sent a letter to Chairman Grassley, and this time they chose the New York Times. They've been selectively leaking their material to different news outlets, presumably to curry some favor or advantage. I want to get into that in a little bit in a second. And in this case, it was the New York Times, where they said it is not possible, and in the email obtained by the New York Times, the lawyer for Christine Blasey Ford said that testifying Monday, the timetable Republicans have set for a hearing, quote, is not possible, and the committee's insistence that it occur then is arbitrary in any event. Mm-hmm. Arbitrary?
Arbitrary. They already delayed it by 4 days.
The erection of the United States Senate is arbitrary.
They already delayed it 4 days to give her the chance. She's had several days. And look, we don't know what the outcome is going to be on this because it is Thursday now, 6:35 p.m., as we record, but
arbitrary is not a sufficient objection.
Look, one of the few things I'll predict is that if she isn't going to testify on Monday, then she ain't going to testify.
Well, her strong preference, the lawyer reiterated, is that a full investigation occur before her testimony, a wording that stopped short of demanding an FBI probe, suggested that she is open to testifying without one. Now, they didn't print the full letter. I don't know why.
But this
we could
perfect.
Actually examine.
It's perfect because it's going to take, you know how long it's going to take even the FBI to investigate something that happened 35 or 36 years ago? She doesn't even know what year it happened.
So the demand is that the FBI investigate this. And let's listen to Kamala Harris on what about the FBI.
Well, John, I think that, listen, this comes back to the point about ordering the FBI to do a comprehensive and complete background check. I strongly believe that the FBI and in particular the people in the FBI who have the experience of dealing with sexual assault cases should be charged with doing an investigation. And again, this is about this guy's background. It's not about proving a crime. It's about his background. I have had many cases where there was enough evidence to believe something happened, but not necessarily prove it beyond a reasonable doubt in a courtroom, but it doesn't mean it didn't happen. The United States Senate needs to know who this person, Brett Kavanaugh, really is. And that's the issue.
Are you kidding me? So. The guy has been, let's just set the record straight here. The guy's been subjected to six FBI background checks.
You mean the man who
life.
Currently occupies the seat on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals,
right,
you're saying?
Right, he got through that background
as
check.
As a senior judge on the D.C. Circuit Court of
six
Appeals.
Background yeah. checks. Yeah. And she never had any interest in coming forward in these previous 35 right, or right. 36 years. She doesn't even know
but,
how
but
long
But let me
it's
interrupt
been.
You. One of the points I wanted to make that I thought was just hilarious about it, and nobody picks up on these things, I think, sometimes with me, is the way she says, like, the FBI, like, they're sexual assault team. They're experts in... She's talking about people that are experts in divining who committed some sexual assault, like, murder thing where there's, like, a crime scene with, like, lasers and DNA. There's no investigation there's not that kind of an investigation here. It's
First
not
of all,
there's no crime scene where FBI advanced techs are going to go in with their space age technology
right.
and determine who committed a crime.
Well,
that's not the kind of thing we're dealing with.
It's not a federal crime. And yet I will say on the other end of it that when Anita Hill came forward with her allegations, which were then private, they had not gone public yet, those were investigated by the FBI.
Let's take a listen as to what the FBI actually does in backgrounds. And I won't go to somebody from the right for this, but somebody from anybody on the left could say has great credentials for honesty for them, I suppose. But this is what the background process is like.
I mean, what the FBI does with these nominees is not a criminal investigation like they would do if they were planning to potentially prosecute someone. It's just a review, a very comprehensive review of every little thing in the life history of that nominee. To see if there's any derogatory information that might reflect badly on the character or the experience of this nominee. And honestly, remembering that Douglas Ginsburg fiasco, the FBI background check for nominees is also supposed to turn up information that might end up adversely affecting the prospects of confirming that nominee to the court. Right? That's why the FBI background check on a potential nominee is handed over to the White House. So the White House can then make a decision, based in part on that background check, whether or not they should go ahead and nominate that person for the court.
Okay, so...
Were you afraid that if you said that was Rachel Maddow, people would turn off the
you
podcast?
You maybe would turn off the podcast.
No.
So I think that's important to... We have Kamala Harris, we have Senator Blumenthal, Senator Hirono, the bigot... lots of them talking about
you
how...
You can't be a bigot if you're not white,
well,
Scott.
She's going to... I'm never going to refer to her as anything other than Senator Hirono, the bigot, and we'll get into that in a minute, too. But if the Senate wants to hire investigators, the Senate can hire investigators. The FBI is an executive-level agency. They work for the President of the United States. If the President wants to share that background report with senators, that's up to him. The Senate can hire their own investigators. And by the way, we know that Senator Harris... doesn't even need the report. You know why? Nothing's going to add it to her claim. She already knows who to believe.
But these last...
Senator Harris, this is a classic he said, she said case. Somebody isn't telling the truth. He says he wasn't even at the party. So what is your process to determine who's telling the truth here?
Well, listen, I think it's going to be about, it comes down to credibility, to your point, Gail, and it's going to be about listening to what each party has to say. But I believe her.
Well,
Tim,
I'm shocked.
She believes her.
I mean, but these last two sound bites that you used before her, which were Rachel Maddow and Kamala Harris, they both talked about background checks as if that hadn't been done. Now, if they're asking for an investigation, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Another background check?
No, they this is sort of the DNA of their demands, Tim. It's never anything specific, like send a team to LA to interview this woman and then a team to Bethesda to interview Mr. Judge
and then report on that. Because we can say, all right, we can get that done in X number of hours. We'll have it done. And if the Democrats were, I think if they were at all close to being legitimate on this, if you said to me like, hey, Scott, I got to leave here in 25 minutes. And I said, well, listen, I really want to do this thing. And you said, I don't think we can do it because it's 25 minutes. I would say, okay, fine. Let's get started and we'll see how long it takes. And then if something else came up that I wanted to do in addition to that, I might say, I want to do this other thing. I understand, though, that you need to leave in 25 minutes. Let's see if we can shoehorn this in. So if I was an honest Democrat, Tim, what I may say is, I understand that politically you're unwilling to extend this nomination through the midterm elections. And practically, October 1 is the start date of the United States Supreme Court's October term, which they will not be delaying.
Right.
So if you hold the vote on September 30th, he could be on the court on September 1. If you hold the committee vote on September 29th, give me until September 29th. What, you know, in other words, if I had a an ounce of credibility and it wasn't just about delaying tactics, you could say that and say, and then they could come together, okay, and say, all right, let's get into this. If there's some specific thing that
but,
you want.
But that's why I say that this left-wing lawyer for Christine Ford is, she's reading stuff right out of the Democratic playbook, which is, first of all, you bring it up at the last minute. You make a non-disprovable claim. You then make
I think it's fair to blame Ms. Ford rather than Ms. Katz, by the way.
Well, yes, but Ms. Katz is out there now speaking for Ms. Ford, saying we have to have an investigation first or we won't appear. She won't appear before the committee. And what that does is an investigation into something that happened 35 years ago is going to take a long time. And that means that
through her legal representatives has made for that the most important thing right now is a delay in the proceedings. And that's why she's not credible. That's why I don't believe her. Tim, on Anderson Cooper 360 two nights ago, I'm now a CNN subscriber, I guess, since I get the cable.
Boy.
It's a real treat for everybody. But this is how they open the show.
You'll only see it here. Christine Blasey Ford, the woman accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her, wants the FBI to investigate her allegations before talking to the Senate Judiciary Committee
about it.
We know this because 360 has exclusively obtained a letter attorneys had just moments ago sent to Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley. It lays out in stark terms the price she says that she and her family are already paying. Chairman Grassley wants her to appear next Monday before the committee. Republicans want to speed the nomination along. Democrats want to go slow.
You only get the exclusive and know it's an exclusive if it's arranged ahead of time. So Ms. Katz, excuse me, and her law partner, perhaps, they arranged for this exclusive for Anderson Cooper on CNN. What was their price? What did they extract as a price? You know, as I said in my piece on LibertyNation.com, they don't tell you which correspondent at which network to leak your filings to when you're in law school, because that attends to people's political interests, not their legal interests, which is what being a lawyer is supposed to be about. In this instance, I think it is instructive as to what game they're playing. You know, they didn't just issue a press release. Same thing again today. They went to the New York Times with an exclusive.
Right. Well, they want to pick places that are the most virulently anti-Trump. Now, MSNBC would be a little too transparent because they are left-wing, and they say they're left-wing. Lean Forward, all of that. You know they're left-wing. You know that Fox is right-wing or conservative. CNN, the most trusted name in news. They want to go there because then it has the sense that it's actually news and not just two people playing footsie with each other who are trying to do the same thing.
At 7 a.m., Ms. Katz was on CNN. Now, remember, the Post published their piece on Sunday. At 7 a.m., she was on CNN with a cute little smile on her face talking about how nobody from the committee had contacted her or her client in any way, and they wanted to come and testify and would avail themselves the opportunity to do so. And Republicans absolutely called their bluff, scheduled the hearing, said, let's do this. And then they got a whole lot of, oh, well, what for? And only if her safety is, by the way, so you keyed in on this on the radio show, I think it was, when they said that her safety had to be guaranteed. Now, by the way, right, that actually can be with the Capitol Police. There's not going to be an issue there. But I've heard that, you know, she had to move out of her house because of death threats. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm, I will make a joke about the death threat in a second, but the governor of California is a Democrat.
I'm sure the mayor or county executive of Palo Alto is probably a Democrat. Probably everybody in Palo Alto is a Democrat, right? I mean, there's no...
Are any of them providing police services?
Kamala Harris, who laments the security situation for this accuser, is the immediate past attorney general for the state of California. Did she pick up the phone and call somebody to get a radio car in front of this woman's house?
No, there wouldn't be any political advantage
right.
to that,
Jesus
Scott,
Christ.
Because
you can't stop him on the way to the cross, right? Then you got a problem. And that's
right.
what's happening here.
Right.
That's a good analogy. Yeah. I find it absolutely, just disgusting.
Well, you can look at the pattern of behavior among the Democrats when it was brought up, what the demands were, the fact it's non-disprovable, the fact they're demanding an investigation which would delay the entire proceedings, maybe even to the point of taking it past the midterms when the Democrats could win. They could win the Senate. It is possible, not likely, but definitely possible. And then they've got what they want. Now, a lame duck session of a Republican majority Senate would have to meet and try to get through a nominee, which would look very bad to the American public.
Well, Mazie Hirono has already said that they should keep the nomination open for years until they get back the presidency and the Senate at the same time. She, by the way, is a disgusting human being. I want to play you a clip right now.
Please do.
This is Mazie Hirono, the senator from Hawaii.
I expect the men in this country and the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation. But really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up. Do the right thing for a change. Okay,
for
you can see
a change,
I'm a little
Tim.
Upset
just
by this.
Shut up. And do the right thing for a change, you man, you disgusting piece of trash because of your Y chromosome. That's what Mazie Hirono thinks. And you know what? If a man said that about women in the U.S. Senate, he wouldn't be reelected. People would shun him and turn away from him. And I demand and expect the same thing for Mazie Hirono, that you can't talk about human beings like that.
Well, that's
disgusting.
That's a sign of the times that she would not only get away with, but wear as a badge of honor a statement like that that demonizes half of the human race by virtue of what sex they were born into.
You know, there's one other clip that I want to play for you, and I think it really encapsulates for me what's sort of going on I see in the popular culture in some significant way with respect to this issue. And this is... Well, I've titled the audio clip, Your Sisters. Gotta love that, right? Very emotional. Listen up.
Dear Professor Ford.
Dear Professor Ford.
Dear Professor
That's
Ford.
That's right, Tim. It's one of
we
those.
We know how difficult it is to stand up to powerful people.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
We want to thank you for publicly sharing your story of sexual violence.
As members of the Senate determine whether Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh
should serve as a Supreme Court Justice.
The Supreme Court Justice.
This context is critical.
The behavior you described was wrong.
Wrong. Wrong, and runs directly counter to upholding the law
and promoting justice.
He should not be confirmed.
He should not be confirmed.
He should not be confirmed.
We can also imagine how shocking and overwhelming it must have been to have your truth shared on a national stage without your permission.
You should be the decision maker about how your story is shared.
Isn't that enough? I mean,
no, there's one other thing
to the rest of this. Forward for the public good. And we
Hold
will
on.
Be with you as you face the inevitable backlash.
The most important
the
part is coming.
Backlash. The inevitable backlash.
You're strong.
You are strong.
And you are not alone.
You are a survivor.
A survivor. Hold on.
A survivor.
And millions of us
have your back. Clip shorter.
You and your testimony
Here we go.
Are credible.
Listen.
You and your testimony are credible.
You and your testimony are credible.
We believe you.
We believe you.
We believe you.
Signed, your sisters.
Signed, your sisters.
Signed, your sisters.
Signed, your sisters.
Okay,
so deeply moving, Scott. I love the way they say, we understand millions of us have been through the same thing. So there's millions of people
collective justice
who are
so many women have been victimized by men that a woman who says she's been victimized by a man automatically is them.
This is a, well, this is a reflection of what's going on campuses across the country.
Wait, I have to say the most important thing though, Tim, is how they believe her testimony. Her testimony. Excuse me? Where does one go to discover her testimony? Please tell me so that I can go and witness it.
Aren't they referring to, you know, testimony, a public, not necessarily in front of the cameras or
they
in front
believe
of the Senate?
The reports
but
of the Washington Post, that's a lot different than testimony. I mean, I could actually, in other words, if the woman came and testified before Congress and they looked into her eyes and heard her voice and actually believed her, I might actually say, well, yeah, ma'am, I may agree or disagree, but I could grant them their own perceptions.
I agree. I wanted
to. They don't have testimony to agree on. This is a bunch of celebrity women. And just so you know, it was Marissa Tomei and Julianne Moore and a bunch of other sort of movement feminist women, okay, who now I can't go see their movies.
Does that
movies
mean I can't?
Yes,
Marissa Tomei, so
yes.
I can't see my cousin Vinny anymore?
Well, she
anymore?
Made that before, so you're oh, I don't think she still gets paid when you watch it, so it's okay. But this idea that, you know, there's a woman who said, like, they're on Team Woman. So that really is the nuts and bolts of it. Just like Maisie Hirano, right? They're not on Team Professor Ford. They haven't examined Professor Ford and examined Kavanaugh. They don't like Kavanaugh.
They don't have to, Scott. She's a woman. That's all the examination
and
she
that
needs.
Is absolutely
and this
disgusting.
Is what's going on campuses from coast to coast is that, and finally, Betsy DeVos and the Department of Education are trying to shut that down where...
You get
where
to
there
confront
are
your
kangaroo
accuser.
Courts.
Yeah, where you finally, they're going to make a change where you get to confront your accuser.
I mean,
yeah.
it was not only guilty until proven innocent, but you didn't even get your chance, as you pointed out, to prove your innocence. You're automatically believed if you're a woman. That's not justice.
Wait for the kicker, Tim. Unironically presented that video, or the audio track I just played you from the video, unironically presented by who? MoveOn.org.
Oh,
okay.
Perfect.
Exactly,
of course.
Right.
And you'd expect any different.
Yeah.
Now, Scott, okay, now we're recording this podcast on Thursday. It's now 6:54 p.m. for a time marker.
Okay.
Do you believe between now
I do concur with that time mark. Go
and,
ahead.
And Monday that more women will come forward, that they will
it's
will
almost
find
impossible to me for me to believe that we've gone this long and no one has come in other words, if somebody was going to, almost certainly I would think that. So the answer to your question is no, I don't believe it. And as a matter of fact, one little detail that hasn't been talked about that much, I guess because it's completely unsubstantiated at this point, is the detail about Ed Whelan. Do you know about this part of the story?
No.
Okay, so Ed Whelan is a man who is the president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He's a movement conservative type. He's a former Scalia clerk.
Right.
And a man who a lot of people that I take seriously online take seriously. I hadn't known about him before now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been tweeting, and he's known as somebody who is a sort of sober conservative type, not a firebrand.
Right.
Or just. And he says, by 1 week from today, and this was posted 2 days ago, by 1 week from today, I expect that Judge Kavanaugh will have been clearly vindicated on this matter. Specifically, I expect that compelling evidence will show his categorical denial to be truthful. There will be no cloud over him. Now, there's been a lot of speculation. He's followed up with some other tweets.
How can he prove a negative?
Right. Well, here's what the speculation is as to how he can prove a negative.
Okay.
That it was a case of mistaken identity, and they will actually be able to identify the person who was, in fact, guilty of this assault. So that's...
Well, the other way they could go is if Christine Ford and her left-wing attorney decide to stick with the idea that they're not going to testify Monday because it's, quote, not possible, unquote,
sure.
Then they're not going to delay the confirmation process. But what the left can do then... pursuant to the point I discussed before, is they can find, if they could just find one other woman.
Certainly.
If they can find one other woman who's willing to come forward, then maybe the testimony of Christine Ford isn't needed, because now you've established a pattern. Mm-hmm. And there's enough questions that certainly we cannot confirm someone where there's two reports of sexual misconduct and
you
rape.
You get even if it's like Crystal Mangum, anybody who comes forward now, you get that plus one. That'll do the trick. But for now, I think his nomination is going to go through based on the facts we have at hand.
I think so. And
I don't think it should be held up by this. And by the way, I'll say this as we close out this episode of The Uprising. I don't think that Judge Kavanaugh is, you know, the best selection since sliced bread. I just think he's head and shoulders above and light years above anything we would get from Hillary, and a fine selection for what we can reasonably expect from a Republican president.
I agree. We can only hope that he doesn't turn out to be a David Souter or an Earl Warren or a John Paul Stevens, three Republican appointed justices
I'll agree with you
far
on the
to
Warren.
The
I'll agree with you on the Warren. The other two have their good points. On that note, thank you for joining us. For Tim Donner and The Uprising, this is Scott Cosenza. Bye-bye. Please visit libertynation.com, where truth is making a comeback. For more on this and other stories all week long, plus visit our YouTube channel and like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you.